What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Happy Thursday and happy geriatric election debate night. I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I will be watching, so you don't have to. But if you would just like to listen, you can listen right here on WBT. But if you can't get make any time in your schedule to do so, I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to pull some of the highlights. And I did watch a video. There was a video that CNN put out showing how the volume works, like in the cutting of the microphones. Is fascinating. So like if I turn this microphone off, then you can't hear me through the microphone. It's amazing stuff, I tell you. I learned so much from the video. So that's tonight on WBT. The next hour might get a little squirrely. We'll see how it goes. Fire drill planned. And for the building. So we'll see what happens. there will be no fire, as I understand it. Just a drill. I don't know why they schedule them during my shift. I do not take it personally. I'm trying not to take it personally. No, I don't. If you would like to email, it's Pete@thepetecallinershow.com and on Twitter @PeteCalliner. Alrighty, so let me start. We're going to start at the state level. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on up in Raleigh. And the first is obviously the protection of the democracy by the Democrats who feel like the democracy is best protected by giving us fewer choices. Okay? That is how you protect the democracy, is that you do not allow people to even cast a vote for somebody if it's going to undermine the democracy. Always keep in mind that when Democrats talk about the democracy, they're talking about the Democrat Party. See, if you just, from now on, if you just think of the democracy as the Democrat Party, a lot of their rhetoric makes way more sense, right? Because they do stuff all the time that is like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem like conducive to the democracy, but then if you swap it out with the Democrat Party, then it's like, oh, okay, well, that does make sense then. So, for example, if there's a candidate who wants to be on the ballot, but the Democrat Party perceives that that candidate's presence on said ballot might draw votes away from the Democrat on the ballot, then in order to preserve the Democrat Party, right, the democracy, in order to preserve the democracy, you keep that person off the ballot. You just don't let them on. Right now, in the old school way of thinking, the democracy meant that, oh, you get to pick people off of the ballot, and there are all these different candidates, different parties and such. But not so when talking about the democracy. Not so. In fact, fewer choices, that's protecting the democracy, a.k.a. the Democrat Party. So the State Board of Elections was asked yesterday at its hearing, at its meeting, hey, we'd like three different parties to be listed on the ballot. There is, let me see here. I'm going to make sure I get this. Like, We the People Party is one of them. We the People Party, the Constitution Party, and the Justice for All Party. Now, two of those are at least perceived to be detrimental to Democrats, a.k.a. the democracy, prospects, to their prospects in November. The We the People Party, that's the political party of RFK Jr., the nephew of JFK, the son of RFK, both assassinated, both, you know, longtime martyrs of the Democrat Party, a.k.a. the democracy. And so he is running, but he's not running as a Democrat, because they're like, we can't stand to listen to you speak because your voice is really annoying. And so they're like, not going. No, I'm kidding. That's not why. He is running on this We the People Party ticket because he can't He could not get the nomination, obviously challenging Joe Biden. So Democrats are very, very worried about what this might do to the democracy if people who traditionally vote for Democrats see RFK Jr. on the ballot, or you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Like, that's a martyred name in the democracy. And so people might vote for him. Democrats might vote to preserve the democracy by voting for a Kennedy. Can't have that, because that would be undermining the democracy, right? By voting for the democracy. So they, the Board of Elections, all three Democrats on the Board of Elections, which recall Roy Cooper, my good friend Ray, has gone to great lengths to ensure that he controls the makeup of the State Board of Elections. When the legislative body has tried to change the makeup of the Board of Elections in order to make it more bipartisan and even split between Republicans and Democrats, Roy Cooper keeps blocking it because he needs to keep control of that body specifically to protect the democracy, right? So that's how we end up with a 3-2 decision yesterday up in Raleigh to keep the We the People Party, as well as the Justice for All Party and the Constitution Party off the ballot, at least for now, just while they do their investigation. The Justice for All Party, that's associated with Cornel West. The Paul Specht's piece at WRAL, he describes Cornel West as the left wing, because they're never far left, remember, they're never far left. The left-wing intellectual who has taught at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and other prominent universities. And then there's the Constitution Party. That's the right-wing party that has nominated a fella named Terry. I've got his name here someplace. I haven't even looked at the ballot yet for November. It's still early. It's still summer, people. It's still summertime. I haven't even looked to see. Randall Terry. That's it. Randall Terry. An anti-abortion activist. Now, the Constitution Party was on the 2020 ballot, but the nominee at that time, a fellow by the name of Don Blankenship, he got like 7,500 votes out of 5.5 million cast. And so the deal in North Carolina has always been that you have to get a certain amount of support in order to keep party certification. This was a problem for the Libertarians for many years. They would have to spend a ton of money going around getting signatures to get certified so they could be on the ballot. And if you're trying to get on the ballot as a party, there's a lower threshold. It's like 1.5% of the votes cast in the last gubernatorial election. And so you've got to get that amount of signatures. I've got the number here someplace. I think Paul Speck put it in his piece here at WRAL. A 0.25% of voters. That's what you need for a party. So in essence, it's like a little bit under 14,000 signatures you need to get if you're trying to get a party listed on the ballot. Now, if you're trying to just get a candidate listed on the ballot, that means you need the 1.5%. And that's 83,000 signatures. So it's a way higher bar to clear if you're just trying to get a name on the ballot, like RFK Jr., just him, 83,000 signatures you got to get. But if you want to get listed as a party and RFK Jr. just happens to be your nominee, well, then you only need 14,000 signatures. See, this to me, well, now I'm hearing myself in my headset again. So this to me is, this is a flaw in the law. These are ballot access laws that North Carolina has been doing third parties dirty for decades. They need to just clean this up and just make a single standard, make it easy enough for third parties and unaffiliated candidates to get on the ballot. I know I'm asking a lot there, but just set a number, whatever the number is. You want to make it 15,000 signatures, party or candidate, get 15,000 signatures. You get to be on the ballot. Just have a uniform standard, you know? To me, that just makes sense. And then you don't have to worry about all of this stuff. Now, why did the Board of Elections... Well, the Board of Elections, I don't want to ascribe motive, but the three Democrats seem to be hesitant to let the two parties, the We the People Party and the Justice for All Party, to let them on the ballot because there's a threat to the democracy by letting people vote, by letting people have a choice. So they want to investigate the signatures. They want to investigate what all was done. And if this sounds familiar, by the way, it's because this is what they did to the Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate, who was, remember, Matthew Ho? He was running against Shannon Bray, who was a libertarian, but also Ted Budd and Sherry Beasley. And the Board of Elections prevented him from getting listed on the ballot. He had to sue. He finally won, and he was on the ballot. So they played this same game against the Green Party 2 years ago, and they're doing it again now. They're trying to jam up these third parties because they're afraid they're going to siphon votes away from Joe Biden. And Joe Biden needs all the votes he can get because Donald Trump barely won this state last time, and there's a bunch of money getting poured into it from Democrats this year, and they really are trying to hope to flip North Carolina, and the presence of these two other candidates, RFK Jr. and Cornel West, could siphon votes away from Joe Biden. That's if I'm ascribing motive. Now, they're saying we just need to investigate. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? All right, so much like destroying the village to save it, Democrats are very interested in saving democracy by not giving you as many choices as you would otherwise have. In this case, it's Cornel West and RFK Jr., as well as Randall Terry, who is the Constitution Party candidate. But I think they'd be okay with him being on there. There's a problem with his address that they're still working out. The two of the three are perceived to siphon votes away from Democrats. And so here's how the WRAL reporter Paul Specht covered it. Presidential candidates campaigning as alternatives to Democrat Joe Biden and Republican Donald Trump were denied access to North Carolina's ballot on Wednesday, a move that comes amid pressure from Democrats who questioned the legitimacy of the candidates' parties and amid allegations by the GOP that Democrats are trying to tilt the election. In a party-line vote, the North Carolina State Board of Elections rejected initial bids for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, and Randall Terry to place their names on the November ballot, saying they want more time to review the petitions. Now, if I remember correctly, there's a state law that says they actually have to do this by July 1, but it's just a statute. Who cares about that? The board's two Republican members voted to place the candidates on the ballot, while the board's three Democrat members rejected those motions. Democrats raised different issues with each of the petitions. So for RFK, they questioned whether Kennedy followed the proper procedure under state law. Cornel West, they questioned whether the petition was compromised by Trump allies. Because there's a guy named Scott Pressler. A lot of people on the right know who he is. He goes around and does voter registration drives for Republicans. And he's very effective. And so he was at a Trump rally, I think in Wilmington, and he was caught on video gathering signatures for Cornel West. And so now this is, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Really? Why? And he's telling the voters, the Trump voters, he's like, all you're doing is getting him on the ballot. And the idea here is that he's going to draw votes away because this guy's a socialist. He's going to draw votes away from Joe Biden. So what? Like, honestly, so, I mean, you may not like what Pressler is doing and the message that he's using to get it done, but it doesn't matter. There's nothing in the law that says you can't sign a petition in order to jam up your opponent. That's completely legal. There's nothing illegal here. Well, maybe they were misled. Maybe these people were misled. Why? Because Trump supporters would never sign a petition to put Cornel West on the ballot because they think it might help Trump? Wait, what? That doesn't even make any sense. State law requires new political parties be certified, there it is, by July. State law requires it. Trump won North Carolina by 1.3 percentage points, about 75,000 votes in 2020. The Biden campaign has said that it plans to invest heavily in the Tar Heel State to try to reverse the president's fortunes here. North Carolina voters have signaled that they would like to have options besides Trump and Biden, according to polling, and third-party options would pull votes away from both candidates. I would add, more so from Biden, which is why they've got a problem with this. I want to welcome to the program the communications director for the North Carolina Republican Party, Matt Mercer. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Pete. How are you today?
I am doing well. So we've been talking about the State Board of Elections decision yesterday up in Raleigh, too. They haven't said no yet, right? They want some more time to investigate and to deliberate carefully before they certify three third parties that are trying to be on the presidential ticket in North Carolina. One is called the We the People Party, which is RFK Jr.'s party. The Justice for All Party, which is Cornel West's candidacy attached to that party. And then the Constitution Party with Randall Terry. So the Republican Party, does the party have an official stance on the presence of these three candidates and their parties on the ballot?
Yeah, what I would say is I will quote one of our two Republican members on the board who said that this was a political hit job that was perpetrated yesterday. And our statement was simply that this was a disgusting abuse of the process with one goal in mind, to further the political interests of the Democratic Party, more specifically Joe Biden, in the November election.
So you don't believe that these three Democrats on the Board of Elections need time to investigate the different, with the Constitution Party, it's the guy's address, where his place of residency, I guess, the Cornel West. There's a different issue with him and whether or not people were misled when they signed the petition to get him on the ballot, when he had to collect the appropriate number of signatures. And then with RFK Jr., they're saying, well, we're not sure this is really a party. It's mainly just RFK Jr.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting way to look at it, where you had these issues that were brought up, speaking to the two parties that I think got the majority of the attention. You know, these are arguments that followed almost to the letter objections filed by both the chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party and Democratic Attorney Mark Elias, bringing these issues into question when the county boards of election check all these things before they verify that the signatures are valid and that they meet that threshold. Everything that the board's majority did yesterday was done outside of their statutory role, in our opinion.
What is their statutory role in this?
Their goal is to verify the signatures, and then if they meet the threshold, then they approve the party. This question of intent and other things brought up is not in the statute. It doesn't matter. You can believe that a party should be able to be on the ballot and have no intention of voting for that party. So these arguments yesterday that people were fooled, you know, it brought back a lot of memories of what happened in 2022 when Democrats did this to the Green Party. Turns around, the Green Party takes them to court. The judge admonishes the state board at that time and orders the Democratic Party to pay the legal fees of the Green Party, because they should have, if they met the threshold, they have a right to be on the ballot. If you say you believe in law and order and saving democracy, it should have been open, shut, and we have more parties on the ballot than we do now to give voters that choice. And the Democratic Party wants anything but giving voters choices.
Well, common misperception when they say they're pro-choice, but not in all things. That's a common misperception when they so it's not in. It's just one item, actually, just one issue. All the rest of the stuff, they're not for choice, school choice, ballot choice. It's different. So what you mentioned that the county boards of elections, they're the ones that are supposed to be checking to see that the signatures are valid. So what if I'm hitting a whole bunch of counties? What, I submit all of those signatures in at the county level, and then those county boards are checking the voters for all of those different counties where they're registered?
Yes, that's how the process works. And they did this. And even, I believe, in one of the cases, they met the threshold despite the counties being late in returning those petitions and saying they were good to go, as, you know, we watched with at the Republican Party and other people were watching. You watch that process play out and you think, what is the issue here? And it's just invented arguments for the sole reason to protect the interests of the Democratic Party and President Joe Biden.
Practically speaking, though, what does this do? Because they're supposed to have, right, they're supposed to decide yay or nay on this thing by July, right? So if that doesn't happen, then what? Do they still have the chance to actually permit them on the ballot after July 1st? And practically speaking, what does that do to a campaign? What does that do to a party being delayed by, you know, a couple weeks or whatever it might be?
Yeah, it's really sort of an open question in that, you know, there's a strong argument that they don't have the authority to place candidates on the ballot after July 1st. So if they come back in their next meeting and say, oh, it turns out everything's okay, oh, but you missed the deadline, you know, I think there's a question whether they could do that. Then you're looking at this going to court yet again. And it's just another indication, another step being taken by this current state board of elections majority that shows how they're acting is not in the interest of fairness and transparency. And it's just another argument that there needs to be a board that has no partisan advantage.
So, yeah, to your point there, I could very well see the Board of Elections coming back on, you know, July 10th or whatever it is and say, yeah, no problem here. You guys can be on the ballot. We did our investigation. We deliberated thoroughly. And so you're good to go. And then in steps Mark Elias and sues the state and says, you missed the deadline, and on the technicality, these parties can't be on the ballot. And then the Board of Elections gets to play the good cop in the bad cop scenario. Elias is the bad cop, and they'll just say, oh, darn it. Well, like, we didn't think it mattered. That's our bad. So sorry, whatever. But what it smacks of to me is the collusive settlement that was entered into with the Board of Elections and the litigants back during COVID in 2020, when they successfully rewrote a bunch of election law as the election was going on through the use of lawfare.
Yes, you're exactly right in that. And unfortunately, the current makeup of the board sort of gives them that right to do it. And you have to go through the court system to find relief. And it strikes us as just another argument that they cannot be in power like this in the future. This current board has not shown they have the ability to execute elections in a fair and transparent manner. It's as simple as that.
Matt Mercer, the communications director for the North Carolina Republican Party. Anything else you want to add you think is important or interesting to note before we let you go?
I'll just say it's going to be a great debate tonight, and whether there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other candidates on the ballot, we strongly believe that President Trump is going to win bigly in North Carolina. So look forward to prosecuting that case through November.
Matt Mercer, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So the piece at WRAL by Paul Specht takes a look at the different arguments against the various third parties that have tried to get on, or alternative parties, because there's more than three, the alternative parties that have tried to get on the ballot. One is called the We the People Party, and the criticism from the Democrats and the State Board of Election Democrats is that this is really just about RFK Jr. It's not really a real party. You know, it's not an actual political party. They're just trying to get their candidate. And he should have gotten the 83,000 signatures, not the 14,000 signatures needed to be on the ballot. Because if you're just a candidate without a party, you need to get 83,000 signatures. But if you're a party, then you just need 14,000 signatures. That's the argument against RFK Jr. being on there. Cornel West is a little different. That's the Justice for All Party, or the JAP, or as I call it, I don't call it anything, actually, besides the JAP. That's all I call it. Okay, the Justice for All, or I guess it would be the JFAP, so that would be the JFAP. So, according to the story here at the WRAL, with West's petition, board members said that they worried that volunteers misled signatories about the purpose of the group. The Justice for All Party's petition is, quote, littered with unregistered voters, illegible and missing signatures, blatant statutory violations, and other indications of fraud. But at least that's what Clear Choice Action wrote to the North Carolina Elections Board on June 13th. The Clear Choice Action group is a Democrat-aligned super PAC, which is an interesting name, Clear Choice, which I guess choices do become clearer when you only have one, right? It's way easier to make a decision when it's like, here's your one option. What do you choose? Like, choice is easy there, right? During the elections board meeting yesterday, members played a video that was posted to social media by a reporter for the Washington Post. The social media post said that the video showed Scott Pressler, a pro-Trump activist, asking people at a Trump rally in North Carolina to sign a petition to get West on the state's ballot. And he said this helps take away votes from Joe Biden. And so then the people signed it. That's not misleading. Italo Medelius Marcano, he is chair of Justice for All Party of North Carolina. He said the man in the video misrepresented his group's goals. He said, I can't control what Mr. Pressler does. That is not the intent of this party. He said, talking about the claims to undermine Biden. He said, we couldn't really stop people from collecting signatures. We didn't really see anything wrong with folks having access to the petition that wanted to get us on the ballot. Right, and there is nothing wrong with that. Now, you could say, oh, that's not fair. That's okay, well, Chris Anglin? Chris Anglin, anybody? Remember that guy? The lawyer that ran as a, quote, Republican, became a Republican in order to siphon votes away from the Republican chief or state Supreme Court judge who ended up losing to Anita Earls. Remember? I do. Jeff Carman, a Democratic board member, said that outside groups and volunteers could have compromised Justice for All's message to interested voters. Hey, Jeff, that's not your job. Your job is not to ensure that voters get the right message from the political parties. Not your job. Stay in your lane, man. Recalling that she was the sole vote against the decision last year to certify the No Labels Party as a political party, board member Siobhan Millen said political operatives should not be allowed to game the system. Well, I think that's actually their job. Like, literally the job description, right? That's the whole point of being a political operative, is that you learn all of the rules and then you find ways around the rules. Kind of like Mark Elias on your guy's side, right? No Labels fought for ballot access as it tried to find a presidential candidate to run this year under its banner. That recruitment effort collapsed. Former Republican North Carolina governor and No Labels co-chair Pat McCrory quit the group in March. Millen, the Democrat member of the State Board of Elections, said, if this board continues to rubber stamp thinly veiled so-called parties, so there you go. So she's dismissing these other entities as not really parties. You're not a real party. I guess this is like Joe Biden telling black voters that you're not really black if you don't vote for him, right? The projection and condescension among a lot of these people, it's just astounding. She says national operatives are going to continue to come in and try to manipulate our system. Mark Elias. Allowing unaffiliated candidates to follow the more lenient new party rules by creating faux parties, fake parties, is turning a blind eye to partisan mischief, potentially. And we need to look at that. And it's time to put a stop to it. Again, stay in your lane. If the legislature, and I would support this, creating a single rule, a single number, candidate or party, You want on the ballot, you got to collect 20,000 signatures, 15,000, 25,000, I don't know, throw out some numbers, right? I'm fine with there being more choices on the ballots. You should be too. This state's number one registration is unaffiliated. Let's start acting like it, Democrats. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecalinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.